From WCVE News in Richmond, I'm Craig Carper. Joining me now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch is political columnist and WCVE's political analyst, Jeff Shapiro. Jeff, good morning.
Hi there, Craig.
Well, in some ways, it feels like it's been months, and in others, it feels like it's just been a few weeks. We are approaching crossover, which is the procedural midpoint of the General Assembly session.
Yes, think of it as halftime at the Super Bowl without the big show with a wardrobe failure. But it is a good time to kind of take account of what's been done and what needs to be done. Of course, the Republicans, who still control the House and Senate, albeit barely, have been using their slender majorities in committee to kill some high-profile Democratic bills, protections for LGBTQ Virginians, banning bump stocks like those used in that terrible Las Vegas mass slaying, also killing legislation that would have given local government the power to do something about those Confederate monuments. The second half of the session, the focus will sharpen. There'll be less business, but there'll be some really high-stakes business, most notably the budget. And it is in the budget, or through the budget, that we will see whether Ralph Northam, the new governor, can succeed where Terry McAuliffe, his predecessor, failed, Medicaid expansion. And of course, to some degree, the House Republicans, at least, have cried uncle. They've said they're prepared to go along with this, but they want to see in anything that looks like Medicaid expansion, a work for benefits feature like that first adopted by the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The wild card in a Medicaid deal at this point still seems to be the Republican-controlled Senate.
It appears we've been witnessing the Virginia version of Let's Make a Deal. In 1 week, we've seen two joint releases from the Northam administration and the Republican leadership. The first announcing a new effort to cut red tape by 25% in Virginia, and another to achieve a long-standing Democratic priority that is raising the state's felony larceny threshold.
Yes, from $200, the level it was set at in 1980, to $500, still well short of the $1,000 favored by Governor Northam. This is an important breakthrough nonetheless, if only symbolically. The idea here is to make it easier for people to get a second chance to keep felonies off their record, to allow them to find and hold jobs, to continue their educations, to support their families. There will be props for both parties. Clearly, Northam looks like he's making a significant bow to his progressive base. Of course, large numbers of minority Virginians, many of them Democrats, make up the prison population in this state. The Republicans, who've always been tough on law and order, might look a little less hard-hearted by embracing this, but they're also thinking about holding their slender majorities in the House and Senate. So, yes, there's some altruism here, but there's a political calculation by both parties.
Jeff, we are seeing some modest redistricting reform efforts moving through both chambers.
Oh, yes, baby steps. These are Republican-drawn bills that would commit the legislature after the 2020 headcount and the next redistricting in 2021 to draw House and Senate districts that are compact, contiguous, and because they're compact and contiguous, somehow reflect regional interests. So these are the standards contained in the Virginia Constitution. Now, remember, the Republicans have always opposed this, certainly as long as they have been in charge, better part of 20 years. But again, having seen their political lives flash before their eyes last year with the Democrats' near takeover of the House of Delegates, there's a lot more interest in, shall we say, looking like they are committed to good government rather than continuing the gerrymandering that to some degree has contributed to this kind of free fire zone that passes for the General Assembly. A couple of points. Whatever is passed will probably be deemed inadequate by Governor Northam. He says he wants some type of independent vetting of redistricting, certainly by 2021. But we are waiting for a federal court to decide any day now whether nearly a dozen African-American majority districts drawn by the Republicans in the House of Delegates are legal. And if they are thrown out, the remedy could include special elections this year. And perhaps, if that were to occur, the Republicans could see their slender majority in the House disappear.
And a funny moment on the Senate floor yesterday when Senate Clerk Susan Schar swore that the Senate had paid their electric bill after the failure of the Senate's electronic voting board during a vote to re-regulate Dominion Energy.
Yes, these controversial electric utility bills, one on the House side, one on the Senate side, compromises negotiated by the Northam administration, you know, are supposed to be represented as kind of great breakthroughs in terms of a greater reliance on green energy, a seemingly substantial cash rebate to customers north of $200 million, and some restored oversight of the electric utilities by the State Corporation Commission. However, a closer look at these bills, the fine print shows that all of that extra money, all those excess profits that the utilities hoovered up under a 2015 bill, they'll be able to keep. We're talking, you know, well north of $1 billion. That's money that the Corporation Commission ordinarily would have ordered refunded. The utilities can plow that into new equipment. Again, it's your money. And then charge you for the cost of maintaining all of that new equipment. Now, the opponents of these bills say that's nothing more than double dipping. And there was an attempt on the Senate floor at week's end to do something about that and to just do away with that 2015 bill that kind of set up what we're seeing unfold now.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Jeff, we will catch up again next week.
Have a great weekend.